Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
The River of Life and Taxes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Live from Cairo, Egypt, I'm Scott Jagow. Today we begin on the Nile. I'm underground in a cavernous chamber. For centuries, this is where the river's water level was measured. Egyptians used a stone column known as the Nilometer to gauge the annual flood. The flood was the most important event of the year. It not only determined feast or famine for Egyptians, it also determined the level of taxation on farmers. Modern Egypt is trying to create a new tax base through technology. Amy Scott has more.
In row after row of cubicles, young men and women take calls in Spanish, Arabic, and English. On the wall, a motivational poster spells out TEAM. Together, everyone achieves more. It's a typical call center, but the customers on the other end of these calls might be surprised to learn it's based in Egypt. 26-year-old team leader Sarah Mahdi says she's not allowed to tell.
You know, we end up guessing together. Okay, you can guess. And they start guessing. And finally, I'll tell them, well, keep guessing, and I cannot tell you. And they laugh. They say, okay, as long as you can give me the service, I don't mind.
Exceed is the largest call center in the Middle East. It's growing fast. Mohamed Fouad is vice president for service delivery. He says the company hires between 50 and 60 people every month. The goal is to capture some of India's outsourcing success.
We're quite sure that we will never go head-to-head with India, because India got something that we don't have, which is scale. They do have a lot of people.
Exceed offers a fairly neutral accent, Fouad says, and its agents speak not just English, but also Greek, Portuguese, and Hebrew.
So this is basically a different value proposition that India offers, and we offer that also at a very, very competitive price.
The company offers Egyptians a decent wage. A starting agent earns up to $500 a month. That's many times a typical government salary. Then there's the environment.
Buildings provide modern open working spaces and are equipped with fast elevators.
Exceed is one of dozens of high-tech companies situated in a sparkling new business development called the Smart Village. It's just outside Cairo. This promotional video touts perks like free shuttle buses and underground parking. Guest relations manager Mona Francis sees the Smart Village as a model for a new Egypt.
You wouldn't find a paper on the floor. You wouldn't find a cable hanging from a building. We are trying to create something that is unique.
For many Americans, a sterile suburban business park like this wouldn't inspire much enthusiasm, but people are willing to commute several hours to be here. 25-year-old Reem Fahmy with Exceed seems genuinely proud to come to work.
It's one part of society that you'd like to be with. I mean, if you go to Hollywood, you'd like to be there, right? So it's the same idea. It shows that people are fighting to make this a better country and stuff, and at the same time, you're going to be part of that.
There's plenty of room for those who want to be part of the Smart Village. When construction is complete, businesses here are expected to employ some 30,000 people. Outside Cairo, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
We end with a success story. Hold on a second. Sorry. That's my phone. Oh, it's someone who doesn't want to pay for a call, so they hang up before I can answer. That happens a lot here. So let's talk to Alex Shalaby. He's CEO of Mobineel, Egypt's largest mobile phone company. In our latest conversation from the corner office, I asked him how these missed calls affect his business.
Not very well. Thank God it's a phenomenon that has diminished. At one point, it used to chew up about 30% of our network capacity, because when you set up a call, you connect to the other end, it starts ringing, and then you disconnect. I mean, there's no revenue, of course. Our marketeers were quite clever in introducing on our network a per-second billing. So that has reduced this callback phenomenon. I mean, the phone was really used as a paging device.
Mm-hmm. In the United States, just about everyone has a cell phone. In a country like Egypt, how do you grow the cell phone business? It's got to be a different approach than you would take in the U.S.
To increase the penetration, you really have to go to the lower levels of the economic spectrum of the population by introducing solutions. The more friends and family or individuals that are on your network, we offer them attractive propositions.
How would you pinpoint the difference between the Egyptian business culture and, say, the American business culture?
One is more pragmatic and less emotional. Mm-hmm. I used to tell my AT&T colleagues when I was based for AT&T in Egypt that this is a very old culture. So for Pete's sakes, don't ask me to come and change Egypt. I mean, we have to adapt to the market here in Egypt. But by the same token, we needed to employ kind of the Western standard in our business.
What about your employees? How did you communicate to them what you were trying to do by mixing the two business cultures?
I'll tell you, we have adopted a completely transparent employee promotion system. Now, that was not something that kind of comes natural or is part of the culture per se. But I'm very happy to have instituted to make it very clear that you are promoted based on your performance and your potential.
You look like you're having fun. Are you having fun as the CEO of this company?
Sometimes the challenges get to you a little bit, but it is a lot of fun, and I'm truly enjoying it.
Alex Shalaby, the CEO of Mobineel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're listening to The Morning Report from Cairo, Egypt, on Marketplace.org. Now I'm at the campus of American University in Cairo. Tuition for Americans is around $33,000 a year, about the same as high-end private schools in the States. All this week, we've heard from an Iraqi family living in Amman. They dream about sending their children to school in the U.S. But in Jordan, their three kids weren't allowed to attend school at all until recently. Alisa Roth has the last part of her series.
Acer was horrified when she went to enroll her children in school. At that time, Iraqi students weren't allowed to attend public schools in Jordan. But Acer didn't know that.
And I thought I brought their papers and documents through all the bombs and the explosions, but then they tell me that I cannot enter them to school. I went crying, and I have no money.
The officials told her she could enroll the kids in private school, but she can barely pay the rent most months, so it's not as though there was extra money lying around. Acer went in search of a loan, but she got lucky when an international aid organization offered to pick up the tab. Now all three are in the same school, a half-hour walk from home. The oldest, Wisna, is 14. She takes
math, Arabic, science, English, social studies, computer.
The school has boys and girls, unlike her school back home. And she says the teachers are supportive.
Sometimes the other students try to make fun of our accents. They pretend they can't understand what we're saying. But the teachers defend us, and they tell them they shouldn't make us feel like we don't belong here.
The same aid organization also arranged free programs during the summer and winter breaks, which all three kids loved. The agency may keep paying tuition next year, but it may not, and the family won't know for a few months yet. Wisna and her siblings could also switch schools next year if they have to. The international community recently convinced Jordan to let Iraqi students go to public schools. But the schools are crowded, and they charge fees, too. And the family has a hard enough time scrounging money for school supplies and books. Acer and her husband will do just about anything to make sure their kids get an education. As Acer explains, when her husband, Mar, got a call recently from an aid organization, he was hoping it would give him money for school supplies.
But when he went there, they told him that it's kind of a help, either blankets or a heater. He said, I don't want each of them. This is not my needs. If I take these, I might lose that they will give me some money. I need the money more.
So he left. The family's counting on being resettled soon. But Acer has plans for almost everything if they do end up stuck in Jordan indefinitely. The family will keep their apartment because the rent is cheap and the landlord's accommodating. Acer will try hard to get promoted at her job so she can get more money.
But I don't know about school. This is something I don't have plans for. This is what scared me, that my kids will not have education. I don't know what to do out there.
So meanwhile, she's encouraging her children to study hard. In Amman, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
You can see pictures of the family and hear Elisa's other stories about them at marketplace.org. In Saudi Arabia, women aren't allowed to drive, but they can run banks and investment funds. Granted, these businesswomen are usually handed their positions within a family operation, and they're cut off from the rest of Saudi society. But that's not always the story. Kelly McEvers has a profile of one Saudi woman doing things differently.
It was an accident that Nadia Al-Dosari became the CEO of All Sail Eastern Scrap Metal Company. Back in 2003, her husband, the founder of the company, was on his way to inspect a site for a new facility.
And the driver dozed, and my husband was already sleeping, and they hit a trailer.
Her husband fell into a coma. All of a sudden, Nadia was in charge of the scrap metal business. She had to face her husband's clients.
Men who would visit him in the ICU. Some of them are Bedouin, some of them from many places in Saudi Arabia, and they wouldn't even look at me.
That's because Saudi law prohibits the mixing of unrelated men and women. Nadia ignored the law. In the office and in the scrapyards, she gave orders to an all-male staff.
I don't think they took it seriously at the beginning. I would be there. That's the only thing that I would do. Look at the papers, listen to them, and move one day by one day.
Her husband eventually woke up from the coma, but it took him years of rehab to recover. Now he's back at the office and in charge of operations. And Nadia...
I'm his boss.
Morning, Kenny. Morning.
Nadia spends her days searching for new markets and overseeing the assembly of a giant new $12 million shredder.
This is the shredder project. This is actually the original maps of the project itself.
She first joined All Sail Eastern as a middle manager. By the time of her husband's accident, she knew how the company worked. She's faced few obstacles since. One day, though, she had to appear in court over a small claim against a company driver. The strict religious judge separated her from the men and wouldn't allow her to speak.
They would let me sit in a place that looked like a closet, and the window had bars. And I sat there like a stupid chair, and I would think, what else happens on those courts to other women?
So now Nadia Al-Dosari tries to be a role model for young Saudi women who want to start their own businesses. Her advice is to charge forward and worry about the consequences later.
I have a very simple rule. Just break the law and then say, oops, I made it. And I never look back.
In Al Khobar, Saudi Arabia, I'm Kelly McEvers for Marketplace.
We have much more from the Middle East at marketplace.org. That includes blogs and videos of my experiences in Egypt. And next week, our PM show broadcasts from Dubai. That's all from Cairo. I'm Scott Jagow. Enjoy your weekend.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.